This is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Hello and welcome to Screen View, episode 25. I am your host, Peter Van, and joining me is the regular crew, John Denny and Amy Morgan.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back. Well, of course. What's that?
I said half an Amy, at least.
Half an Amy.
Yeah.
Half an Amy is better than no Amy. So
we're okay. I'm here, but my voice is still kind of in and out coming here.
All right, well,
No problem.
Box office report.
But last week we talked about the Avengers. Even though you guys weren't here, unfortunately, you guys had some.
It was Sunday. It was the special day, right? On Avengers only.
Yeah, it was special Avengers only. Yeah, and John had to watch hockey, so.
Hey, it was an important game.
It was an important game. How did that go, anyway?
Yeah, shut up.
I'm thinking that I take it by that response is that they did not do very well after all.
Nope.
If they won, we'd be doing this on a different night.
Your Phoenix Coyotes went further.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't
pay attention. Not that you care. Fantastic. Okay. But what you probably do care about is that the Avengers made $1 billion worldwide.
Awesome.
And it hit it on its 19th day, which is the same amount of time for Avatar and Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Nice.
It currently sits at 13th in the domestic. And domestic box office, 13th in the unadjusted domestic box office. And if it hits
ever,
yeah,
okay,
ever
so
ever.
Far, so far, right now, like there's still a lot to go.
Make money, yeah.
Is anybody superstitious about the number 13?
No,
no, I think it'll be fine. It'll crawl through there.
It's still an awesome. It's like, hey, I'm really super stoked about this because, they made a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And it was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah,
it was a really good movie. So, yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit more. But just to let you know that it actually has outgrossed every single one of the Marvel movies so far, including Iron Man 2, which is the high – well, actually Iron Man, which is the highest to date at $318.4 million.
Okay.
So over the weekend, it grossed to – give me a second here. It made $373 million to take number one, and it made $103 million over the weekend. So, John, you had an interesting tidbit about this. What was the tidbit?
I wish I had a source to back myself up, but I did read that it's the first movie ever – to make $100 million in its second weekend showing. So,
nice.
Yeah.
You know, no movie before on its second weekend only has made $100 million. I think what I read was the closest was The Dark Knight that came in at somewhere around $75 or $80 million.
It's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy.
For a second weekend. Yeah, so that's pretty ridiculous that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it still went down 50% in the box office, but.
It's about right.
Yeah.
For an action movie, it's normal.
50% is still over $100 million.
Yeah.
They're not going to be ringing their hands
or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's making a lot of money because it made it the total gross over the weekend once it hit Sunday was $373 million. And today it's counting from yesterday, it is at $389 million. So it's still packing on a decent amount of money. It probably won't slow down. But what didn't slow it down at all was Dark Shadows, which came in at number two at $29 million, which is
not surprised there.
Yeah, apparently it's a pretty disappointing opening for Johnny Depp in general.
Yeah, I think if any was any other weekend, it would probably do better.
I was not impressed with the trailer. I thought it was a bad idea, and yeah.
A lot of people don't even know what it is. Like, they didn't even know that it was a television show.
Oh, I know what Dark Shadows was. Yeah. The minute it came on, I was like, oh, crap. They're going to do this badly.
To be fair, it was a soap opera, so it's not like there's any kind of rich source material.
Yeah, exactly.
My mom talked about the original series and how it scared the crap out of her all the time. Actually, her words were, scared the bejesus out of me.
Really?
I was like, wow. Yeah. Well, you know, she was easily scared by stuff. Like, stuff that's scary nowadays, she doesn't even go near it. Because she's like, I don't want to have nightmares. I'm like, you know what? That's not scary. I have to tell you what's scary.
But they turned it into, like, a comedy. So it's like a...
They're making fun of it. And it's like, it's not that it was, like, needed to be, like, made fun of. It never really took itself so seriously that it had to be, like... But I saw the relaunch series that they did back in the 90s. And they left it hanging. And the sad thing is that I was reading up on it because I didn't know this at the time, but it actually was doing really well. It was just, it had a couple of weekends where it had to get bumped because of sports, and that killed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Sports, the killer of television. The ruiner of actors' lives.
Yeah.
I don't think
Hey, you said it, not me. You said it.
I don't think it's really necessary that people know that it's from an old soap opera. I mean, I don't think it really adds anything to the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, probably, if anything, like, people are going to go back and watch soap opera and say, they made a movie out of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's Tim Burton, right? He just does whatever he wants.
Apparently,
he's a big draw, so.
Tim Burton goes to a producer and says, I can get Johnny Depp and what's his wife's name?
Helen Bonham Carter,
they're going to do a movie with me. They'll just throw money at him and say, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, what a surprise. It's Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
Okay.
doing a spoof of Dark Shadows. Woohoo!
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah, Twin Peaks. Yeah, I didn't expect a lot of really good things out of it. I thought, oh, this is going to flop bad.
Yeah, and it did. And it also got some pretty bad, like, the reviews haven't been very good either, so.
Yeah, it's been a 2 thumbs down.
Yeah, exactly. A movie that has been doing well, even considering, you know, the Avengers and stuff, Think Like a Man is at number 3. It is doing really well, a lot better than I think a lot of people thought it would. So, number 4, Hunger Games, still holding up. It's still doing really well. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It's amazing that in 8 weeks, or in 2 weeks, Marvel is going to surpass what The Hunger Games has made in 8.
I think they've already beaten it. They've actually surpassed it, like, after the dailies and stuff.
This list from the podcast last week.
Yeah, but according to the dailies, it's already passed it. So.
Yeah.
It's 14th now, so it's kind of amazing. Let's see. The Notebook.
Hero movies, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Notebook Part 7, The Lucky One, is number 5. The 5-Year Engagement, number 6. The Pirates, oh my God. Band of Misfits, number 7. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which is kind of amazing, actually.
Is that the Judi Dench movie?
I believe so, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah. It's one of those, if they released it in December, it'd be up for Oscars galore.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's still doing really, really well. I mean, it made $2.7 million in 178 theaters.
Yeah.
Meaning that it made $15,000 per theater, which is, it's more than any other film this entire weekend except for The Avengers. But that was at 4,300 theaters, so it's kind of a. It's just goes to show.
There's at least 3, I think, heavy hitters in this movie. Two older British guys, and you know, obviously Judi Dench is in it. Probably parents and grandparents will say, "Oh, you know what? I really like Judi Dench. I'm going to go see that movie." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like old British actors. I'm not surprised that it did as well as it did. And then the edgy hipsters who don't want to be part of the mainstream and go see The Avengers or go see this movie.
Yeah, I know people who will not go see blockbusters. They're like, why? Why would you go see a blockbuster? It's like,
that's stupid. I mean, I didn't see Avatar, but that's only because I ran out of time.
It's also because it's not worth it.
Aw, it wasn't that bad. Come on.
It was awful. It was terrible.
Which Avatar are we talking about? Avatar or The Last Airbender?
I'm talking about Avatar. I'm talking about James Cameron Avatar.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I never watched The Last Airbender on TV, so.
Oh, don't watch that either. Don't watch The Last Airbender either.
Watch the cartoon.
Cartoon is 10 times better. Like, maybe even 20 times.
I really don't have any interest in that, so.
It's actually really, yeah.
Let's just say The Last Airbender, the movie, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, that one, it definitely will put you to sleep. The pace is really bad.
It's just a bad movie in general.
Special effects are cool.
Yeah. So number 9 is Chimpanzee, and number 10 is Safe, which is, all right. Okay, so let's see. This weekend, oh man, the movie event of the year, John. Battleship.
Oh,
that's what they were saying.
I just remember what you said.
They ran a commercial for Battleship, and it said, "What did it say?" I'm trying to think of what it said word for word. And it was like,
"It's like the action
blockbuster
event
of the summer."
Yeah,
I was like, "What?"
It's Michael Bay and his ego. That's all it is.
I'm pretty sure you used the word audacity.
I mean,
me?
No, John used the word audacity.
Oh, God, okay. Who has the audacity to say that?
You gotta have
who
to be
has
like,
it? I'll tell you who. It's Avengers. The Michael Bay.
Look,
yeah.
Even if you're okay, the Avengers came out 2 weeks before, so you're saying, oh well, that's not really the summer, so that's not a big, you know, that's not the big movie. The Dark Knight comes out in 2 months in the middle of the summer, so I mean,
and then there's Spider-Man in July. And I mean, like, there's also G.I. Joe, right. Then there's Batman, then there's Spider-Man. I mean, there's yeah, that's not going to, I mean, it's going to pale.
I mean, it's probably a pretty, you know, full of action movie kind of thing.
Yeah, it'll be a blockbuster, but it won't be the blockbuster.
Sense.
It'll
make no sense. Come on, it's Michael freaking Bay. It'll make no sense.
Well, he didn't direct it.
Yeah, it was Peter Berg, who's actually a pretty good director. I actually like his stuff, but
They had Peter Berg on a local radio show the other day up here, and they were like, "So, Battleship," and I wish I was paying a little more attention. They were asking him like why it's technically based off of this board game.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, we took a lot of liberties with the board game.
Yeah, I mean, somebody like I said. I would be very disappointed in this movie if some one person did not say, "You sunk my battleship."
There's no way you could say that in the movie.
Why can't Liam Neeson say that before he punches the alien in the face?
I am willing to bet my life savings that he dies within the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Probably like 5. They sunk his battleship.
They only show him in one part of the trailer.
Before he drowns, he goes, "You sunk my battleship." Why can't he say that? I just want him to say that. I'm sorry.
Because he's probably on the battleship.
While he's drowning. He's like, or before he dies, he just goes, "You sunk my battleship." Maybe he does. I don't understand how that's too hard.
They have to have it in the same way that the kid back in the commercial back in the day had it. Like, "You sunk my battleship."
Yeah.
I stand corrected. I guess Michael Bay is not attached to this. I'm looking at the wiki right now. All I remember seeing is it's like it looks like a Transformers movie. It sounds just like a Transformers movie. Oh, but they called it Battleship.
I believe it is produced by Lorenzo Di Bonaventura.
Okay. All
who
right.
does.
Still, I mean, just wow. It smells so much like a Transformers flopping movie.
But all right. So on Wednesday, The Dictator will also come out, which I guess looks funny.
I think it looks funny.
Cool.
Actually, it came out yesterday. It came out today.
Yeah, that's right. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it is a Wednesday. So yeah, we're recording on a Wednesday, so it came out today. And then, what to expect when you're expecting?
It was a Wednesday release. That's what I meant when I said.
Yeah. What to expect when you're
expecting. I expect this movie to be very bad and not make a lot of money.
But it's got all these people and babies and stuff.
Yeah, so did New Year's Day and Valentine's Day and whatever other holiday they want to put on an ensemble cast.
Yeah, apparently, 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. What to expect when you're expecting. The Dictator has...
This is not a book that has a story with it. What to expect when you're expecting. I got this book when I was expecting. And it's not a storybook. It's a book that tells you what to expect when you're expecting. It's a textbook. How can they put this into a movie?
So it's similar to... Well, it's similar to, like, although...
Yeah, I know exactly. That book, that movie they came out with a couple years ago, He's Just Not Into You?
Yeah. Is that also...
It's exactly the same. There's an ensemble cast, and it's a book about relationships. It has nothing to do with... And there's no story or anything.
That's funny.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to make a movie. We're going to stamp this on here, and we're going to live off of the reputation of a book that's a textbook that's going to be for a movie, but it's not really about the textbook. It's about something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That works about right.
All right.
There's probably a lot of good advice in the movie.
Yeah. There you go. 2 hours. It's actually an educational movie.
Right.
Rated G.
You're not ready for it.
Yeah.
And you won't be until years after, and then you look back and go, I don't know how in the world we got through this.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess we could circle back really quickly to the Avengers. In case you were shocked, completely shocked, Avengers 2 is in development, so surprise, shocking.
Surprise,
yeah. So apparently they will. Robert Downey Jr. only signed on for 4 appearances as Iron Man.
Right.
So that'll carry him through Iron Man 3. And this is weird how they work it. They don't do picture deals. They do appearance deals. So it's like,
I have a question about that. I mean, he was in the Hulk movie as Iron Man. Does that count as an appearance?
That was a cameo as Tony Stark, right? Like it was just a cameo, right? I mean, he wasn't there for like the. I think it counts as, like, I don't think they include cameos. I think it includes just being in more than, like, maybe, like, 5-10 minutes or something.
But, I mean, I was just confused because the word appearances, to me, means it appears on screen as Iron Man or Tony Stark. That counts as an appearance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe he...
Like appearances, quote-unquote, that Samuel L. Jackson signed on for.
9?
Yeah.
9? It was like... 9? Really? That's crazy. It's a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's when he puts on the suit or whatever, maybe. I don't know. But regardless, I mean, obviously Robert Downey Jr. he's pretty integral in terms of being part of the Avengers, things like that. And it is Robert Downey Jr., right? So I mean, he has a reason to want to come back because he is set to make $50
million. 50 million reasons to come back.
Oh, yeah, 50 million reasons just on the Avengers alone.
$1 million ones. Yeah, $1.
Yeah, yeah, he can make it rain all across New York City. It's going to be insane.
Look, he's a fantastic actor. He's been nominated for an Oscar. And
yeah.
And
if you think about the amount of star power that was in this film, the most recognizable person other than Samuel L. Jackson was Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, as long as he doesn't mind being remembered for being Iron Man, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It fits him so well, though. He plays the role so well.
He is Iron Man.
What I'm saying is, at this point, he's already Iron Man, so...
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a younger actor, I could see them saying,
"No, thanks.
I don't want to do this my whole career." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he's been around for a while, so you might want to say, you know what, this is an easy gig. I get paid tons of money to do it. I don't care if I'm remembered to be Iron Man. I don't care if I'm remembered for Charlie Chaplin. I don't care if I'm remembered for whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's just like, he just looks like he's having so much fun, though. So,
it doesn't look like he has to try too hard to do it either.
No. And he shows that he's
look effortless.
Yeah. And they were saying that, you know, essentially, you know, given his history, I think he's really grateful for the amount of just work that he actually gets.
Yeah.
Like the kind of, you know, the way that he's been able to come back and from, you know, the pretty much like he just fell off a cliff essentially and he was able to come back up. So I think he's okay. I think he'll be happy to come back, you know, say like you can make $75 million on the Avengers 2. So it's an interesting comparison because Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Jeremy Renner, Mark Ruffalo only make, 2 to $3 million is nothing to nothing to scoff at, but that's how much they'll make probably for the Avengers. Samuel Jackson and Scarlett Johansson will probably make about $4 to $6 million, which is also nothing to scoff at. And the last person that they'll have to sign back on, everybody else already has like these deals to get onto the film. So they, most of them signed on for like 6-picture deals. Samuel Jackson signed on for 9, like we said before. But Joss Whedon has to sign on again for Avengers 2. And he says he's torn. He's like, oh, I'm so torn. I don't know if I want to come back and do this again because there's so much work. But at the same time, it's like, I have some cool ideas.
Does he have to sign on?
No, he doesn't have to. But, I mean, considering how well he did, and everybody's pretty much essentially like crediting him for the film just being that fantastic, like that.
Yeah, I mean, so look, I'm not saying that he shouldn't, but I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, look, if they could get him to write the script and have someone else direct
and
it,
produce
I think
it,
that would work out just as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So produce it and then write the script.
Look,
yeah.
I mean, he was just originally signed on just to be a director. And he looked at the script that, what was his name, Zach Penn wrote?
Yeah, he writes most of the Marvel films, yeah.
And he didn't really like it, so he rewrote the whole movie.
Yeah, hey, so like, you could do it, right?
Look, I mean, if he's someone, he seems to be someone who's like, all right, I'll take a lesser job. And then he starts to, you know, be a writer, and then he says, you know what, I feel like I'm the only one who can tell this story, let me direct it too. You know what I mean?
Okay with
that. Originally he was signed on to be a director, and he was directing someone else's script, and he was like, I had to change so much to this, just let me write it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, depending on how much time they're going to put between the Avengers 1 and Avengers 2.
Like 2-3 years, probably.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
There's plenty of time for him to sign him.
Although the quote that they have him with, Los Angeles Times, he essentially says what you just said. He's like, it's an enormous amount of work telling what is ultimately somebody else's story, even though I feel like I did put myself into it, which is essentially like he didn't write the script. He rewrote a lot of it, but premise and stuff was probably the same.
Right.
But he says, but at the same time, I have a bunch of ideas and they all seem really cool. So maybe he's
failed TV shows. Can you put out there?
I know. How many failed? Yeah, how many TV shows can you sell to Fox and they'll terribly handle them before you say, I will write and direct Avengers 2? Just like take 2 years off, Josh. Like, seriously, that's all I'm asking. Yeah, yeah. Just take 2 years off,
hey,
2-3 years off.
I'm completely on board with that. I love what he did with this.
Yeah.
I get the sense that he's familiar with comic books. He's familiar with some of these characters.
Oh, absolutely.
If he's been into comic books and he knows what he's doing. It's like, you know what? I trust him. I've trusted in a lot of the other stuff that he's done. You know, Joss Whedon, yes, maybe for TV shows, they don't last as long, but there are some really good TV shows that he's written, and we have all loved them.
Yeah.
One of the biggest, Firefly.
They can't get him.
Which has a
maybe
major following.
Maybe they could get somebody who has worked closely with him as like a, what do you call it, second director?
Yeah.
Like on TV shows or something,
mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, obviously a director doesn't direct every episode of a TV show, but like one of the other directors from Buffy or Angel or whatever that he's worked closely with and knows his style and has a similar style and can do that. Yeah. Yeah, like if he writes the movie and this other person directs the movie, I think it'd be pretty seamless.
Yeah,
they
could
do something like that. If they can't sign him, then at least they could work with him somehow.
This also doesn't really hint at what his reservations for doing it is, other than the fact that it's an enormous amount of work. But I would think that he finds that type of work well done, especially if you come afterwards and find out, oh, it was a success. Hey, does that not feel good when you have a successful film that you've directed and written?
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe so it's his passive-aggressive way of saying, please hire me to write the script from the get-go.
Yeah.
Look, some of this is probably exactly what we were saying. He's playing the game. He's going to say it's a lot of work and going to hum and haw about it. And then he'll say, how about you do it for $10 million? And I'll say, all right.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Don't twist my arm. Don't stop me, please.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. So exactly. His agent probably said, you know, don't come out and say, I can't wait to do the second one because then they'll lowball you for the, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Like, oh, yeah.
Be careful how you say this. We want to play it just right. So, you know, we've seen other actors and other, you know, directors and such do their own way of how it say,
right.
I'd like to do this, but I'm holding out to see if I get money, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone is very closely, you know, managed by their agents and their managers and all that kind of stuff. So they're always careful about what they say in these interviews. So I would take it with a grain of salt, and they'll probably be back. And if not, it'll be someone very similar.
Right. Right.
I mean, look, even though it wasn't as great of a movie, but Jurassic Park 3 was directed by Joe Johnson, who was like a prodigy of Steven Spielberg's.
Right.
So it was pretty seamless in all that stuff, and he said, I'm not going to direct a third one, but here's a guy I worked with a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows how I direct.
Right.
Yeah, he knows my style.
So, I mean, there's always someone else out there who can step in and make it seamless, but I think he'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we can go back a little bit really quickly to Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man 3 is actually going to start filming this month in a – apparently it's filming somewhere in China, but nobody knows where. But they cast James Badge Dale as Eric Savin.
James Badge Dale.
He was the guy. He was Jack Bauer's daughter's boyfriend or husband or something. The guy who got the guy who cut his arm off, he cut his hand off because he had a bomb on it.
Oh.
That guy. Yeah. Come on, John. I can see it spinning.
Okay.
I'm looking at his IMDb now, and it says he was known for The Departed, and I can't remember him in it.
He was the double agent. Not the double agent. The second double cop.
Oh, yeah. The other double agent.
Yeah, the other double agent.
I got you.
Double cop.
Double cop.
But I don't know. I've never heard of Eric Savin, John. Have you? Do you know of this guy?
Yes. It's totally different story from the – I know exactly – it's – there's a storyline – when Iron Man restarted in 2006, I think it was, called Extremis.
Okay.
Basically, the storyline is there's a guy who has been given this highly technical virus in his body, and he's almost uncontrollable, and he's very powerful. And when Captain America, when Iron Man gets it, basically, he can't beat this guy, but he finally injects himself with his Extremis virus, and it makes him like able to basically communicate with all the satellites and basically everything technological.
Wow!
Remotely and. It kind of led into the whole Civil War type thing where Iron Man was on the side of the government and he became the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and in the comic books anyway. So that's kind of where that whole storyline went. In the comics, you didn't know who this guy was before the story started. He wasn't in the army at all. He was just a guy, I believe. You don't really know how he got this virus in him, and he didn't have a code name of Cold Blood. they just called him Extremis.
Okay.
And because they didn't know who he was.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a little bit touch of a fanboy versus there, but thank you.
Yeah.
I mean,
awesome.
It's a 6-issue arc. I believe it was somewhere around 2005, 2006. It took forever for the series to come out because the arc. Somebody, this guy named Adi Granad, I think his name was, and he's like a digital painter.
Oh God!
And yeah, it took for like 5 months between issues. It was ridiculous.
Oh geez, it's like that one guy who did Secret War. It took like 6 years for him for that whole series to come out.
Yeah,
because it was so like well painted,
so
but
aggravating because it was supposed to be a monthly series, but it was really good. It was written by Garth Ennis.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
Very violent.
Yeah, a lot of blood, a lot of cursing.
You can look it up on Wikipedia. I might not have all the information right, but that's the basic idea of the story.
Okay, cool.
It's, it's different from, I know that they said they were going to take elements in that story and put it into the movie, so this is the first time we're reading about, you know, Eric Saven and cybernetic surgery and cold blood.
That news just came out like 2 days ago, I think.
Right.
Or yesterday even, or even today. It was not it was definitely very recent, so.
Have they started filming this yet? I don't think they have.
Soon. Very soon.
They'll probably go under a few more changes and, you know.
No, production's apparently going to start this month, so.
But, I mean, still, it's probably still go through some changes and things might change a little bit, so.
Yeah, probably.
See.
I actually didn't know this, but Shane Black is directing it.
Yes.
And he directed one of the, actually another Robert Downey Jr. movie, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Which is, if you haven't seen it yet, that's definitely a recommended film. It's definitely very funny. It's well written. It's well directed. So, very cool.
Awesome.
May 3rd, 2013. That's their plan. All right. So
we have another Marvel movie next year. Woohoo!
Yeah, it's gonna be a Marvel movie every year.
Probably
every year now. Yeah, every year we're gonna get.
Actually, Thor's coming out next year again.
I'm all right with that. Yeah.
Thor's coming out next year. I think Captain America as well. Or they're working on one, so you're definitely gonna get pounded by these kind of movies. So
pounded by Captain America.
Pounded by Captain America. right in the kisser. I had a chance to talk about how I felt about the Avengers, but you guys didn't. So I guess we could start with Amy. Amy, what did you what did you think about the Avengers and?
Okay, I loved it because they had a cast of characters that they showed were flawed. They're bickering and fighting, you know, like they weren't together as a team until like toward the end. They just set it up really, really well, and I was like, okay, they're either going to show these guys as being really awesome, or you know, I don't know what to expect. I thought, you know, we'll see what happens, and like through the whole movie, I was thinking, okay. Who's manipulating who? You know, there was a vibe going on that I really, really liked. And I kind of have to say, for a little while there, I was kind of like, you know, Captain America going, okay, everything's hunky-dory. This is all great. Until somebody says something, and I went, oh, well, maybe they are being manipulated. And then, you know, I was like, so I just liked how they did it. I just like how they did it. And there is a character, I'm not going to give spoilers, there's a character who dies. And I was sad that he died. I was like, no, yeah. You can't let him die. Anyhow, the action was great. Everything about it, it just felt like it was complete. And so, you know, I loved it because of that. And I can't wait to go back and see it again, so... Bring on Avengers 2.
well, a person who has seen it again was John. So John saw it twice already.
Awesome. So I wish I could say I've gone to see it twice.
Yeah, I wish I could too. But it's still very fresh in John's mind. So John, how about you? What did you think?
I loved it, obviously. I like that for a movie where there are so many characters and so many... Each of these characters pretty much has had an origin story. And it's sort of tough because this is also an origin story.
Mm-hmm.
So putting that together and making it into to the actual movie, and an exciting movie where there's a lot of action, it's a tough thing to do. But when they did X-Men, you know, each of those characters had a story, and they didn't really go into it too much. And then they sort of ended up focusing on one character through all three movies, mm-hmm. and Wolverine.
Right.
And while there's characters in the Avengers that sort of steal the scene, whenever they're in it, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. I mean, it was shot in a way that each character had enough time on the screen, and, you know, everything was pretty even. I mean, one of my favorite shots in the movie was one where it followed, in the big action scene at the end, where it followed, you know, from one character to the other and how they were fighting the aliens that were coming down. So it was a pretty big undertaking, like Joss Whedon had previously said. We talked about that. But he did it nicely, and everything came well together, and it was an excellent story, and I can't wait for number two. I mean, do I care as much about Black Widow's and Hawkeye's backstory? I don't think it's really necessary.
I mean, I think they pulled enough.
Yes, and I mean, at the end of the movie, my wife said to me, why does Black Widow have so much red in her ledger? And it's like, I literally don't know, because the character is so different from the way she was brought up through the comics. She was a villain. Her and Hawkeye actually both were villains for Iron Man, like back in the 60s, and then all of a sudden they were good guys. So,
yeah,
could they do another smaller ensemble cast with just S.H.I.E.L.D. and have it be, you know, Maria Hill and Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury and all those guys and tell a story like that? Sure.
That'd be cool.
I think it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Well, I know we didn't get a lot of backstory for those two characters, and I don't know a lot about the Avengers. I'm still learning. But, like, I thought that, like, even if... I mean, I kind of almost get the sense, too, that they're kind of knocking themselves for the things that they've done, and even the things maybe that they haven't, like, that we don't know about, but also the things, like, you know, your own worst critic, you don't give yourself some credit for some of the good things that might have erased some of the bad things that you've done, and vice versa. And right. So I kind of get, like, it was enough for me, I guess, to know that, well, these guys, they kind of look like broken characters that are looking for redemption. Whether or not they're that broken or not, the fact of the matter is they relayed how they are ashamed of what they've, like, some of the things that they've done, and because of that, they're trying to be better individuals. Which gives me, I'm willing to forgive a lot of whatever they've done because of that, because at least they're, you know, seeking for doing what they can to make things right and stuff. And so I'm like, I don't know if I really need to know all of the past unless it makes sense for, like, the story or the plot or whatnot. I feel right. like, you know, I don't have to know everything about them to know. They probably come from a past that's been kind of really tough. So,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and like
they told it well. My suspension of belief works because of how they did it how they told it in the story. So in the movie.
Right. And like, I mean, those two characters specifically were good characters. They're fun to watch on the screen, and they're, you know, good hand to hand combat. And you know, Hawkeye with bow and arrow, and her with her little electronic bracelets or whatever they were.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, as actors, knew who the heavy hitters in the movie were. And obviously Joss Whedon knew who people wanted to see in, you know, Iron Man, the Hulk, and Captain America, and Thor. So while they were all presented on the same screen at the same time, they did a good job of backing those two off a little bit and showing the four people that, you know, audience wanted to see. So,
but they did give those two guys some really significant roles that gave you some really great payoff. So while they might not have been as heavy a hitters as the other guys, they still had some really dynamic scenes. I mean, that whole thing with Black Widow and manipulating Loki into telling her exactly what she wanted. Oh my gosh, that was freaking cool! And then everything that happened with the, you know, the guy with the arrows, is it Hawkeye again?
Yeah, Hawkeye.
Okay, you know, he had some really dynamic role too. So I was like, wow, this is cool. I was totally loving these scenes with these guys, even though I knew, I was like, hey, he can shoot arrows, she can shoot guns. Yeah, it doesn't seem like they could like go up against, like, you know, Thor, Iron Man, Hulk. But yet they did carry their own because of the way they paced the story and because they put them in these scenes that were really good payoffs for the movie. So
right. And look, I mean, a lot of people were saying Captain America didn't get a good enough time to show that he was a leader and this and that. And it's like, look, he knew the place to be and what to do. In the big finale scene, you know, they had the big heavy hitters going after the aliens. And then, obviously, Captain America is still human. So he's standing there with Hawkeye and Black Widow saying, all right, we need to, you know, help these people out here. And it's not like, it didn't just become, oh, there's these big monsters attacking the city. We have to fight back the monsters. It's like, okay, there's monsters attacking the city, but there's still people here, so we need to get the people safe.
Yeah.
Which obviously
still felt like a leader to me.
If you're going
to because...
compare that scene to, say, the Transformers series, where they're attacking big cities and who cares about the people?
Right,
they're insignificant. You know what I mean?
I think it did well. Where you know, Tony Stark goes, "Oh, call it, Cap," and everybody followed. You know exactly what he did, and then obviously, like you know, he told, and then at the end, he was just like, "Oh yeah, so Hulk smash," and he just goes and destroys it. So I think it's definitely a very well-balanced.
Characters showed the
Does the leader have to be? Does the leader have to be that guy that calls all the shots, or is he just the guy that kind of keeps them together in the glue that just says, like, look, you know, let's just keep working. We're not going to quit, you know, because that kind of felt like to me that that's what he was. He's not the leader that's going to be like, okay, follow every instruction to my exact instructions. And, right. You know, no, it seemed like more like he's the guy, kind of a little bit of the heart of the group that just says, look, let's keep going. We're not going to, you know.
Yeah, he's the moral.
The glue that keeps them together when things start looking like they're falling apart.
If you went into the movie having no idea who the leader or who the leader was or anything about the Avengers, but you had seen the other movies, you might expect Iron Man to take that role,
right?
Because of his personality and the way he acts, and you know.
Yeah, but you made it perfectly clear that he doesn't work well with others.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like when like. Look, he's the kind of person, Tony Stark is, where if there's people fighting and he's, you know, there's a problem to be solved, he's going to ignore everyone else and just solve the problem. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of, that they played him off that way. You know, in the one scene when they were talking about, you know, he was like, oh, did anyone else not read the material that they were given? you know what I mean? So, like, if you didn't know anything about that, you might say, oh, well, clearly Iron Man's a leader. But even, like, in the big scene at the end, he goes, he takes a step back and says, all right, Cap, tell us what to do. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I almost kind of want to look at it and say, you know, he was the guy that was resistant to join from the beginning. Although I think it's more of a, it's kind of like, I don't really want to join, but I kind of do because I want to be included in this cool group that, you know, I can be a club member of. But I don't want to lead it. I just want to be a member.
Right.
Yeah, he's just there for the fun. Yeah. He just wants to use his name, the building with his name on it, as the headquarters. Right, that's essentially what happens.
Yeah. And just talking about upcoming Avengers movies possibilities, I've heard that there's still a Ant-Man movie in the works.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
With Simon Pegg and what's the other guy's name?
His partner, the guy that he always I forget his name.
Apparently those two are attached to an Ant-Man movie.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, that'll tie into the upcoming Avengers.
I guess.
I'll look forward to that then.
Interesting.
My only hesitation about that is that there's already two, like Ant-Man, if you don't know anything about him, is another super science nerd guy.
Yeah.
They've already got two of those.
Right.
So unless they took him in another direction, it sort of seems like they're veering too heavily to one way as opposed to another.
Yeah, I'm really. Yeah, I don't know about that. That's interesting. Yeah, the other guy is Nick Frost.
I mean, look, they were all part of the Avengers together at some point in the comics, so it's not like it hasn't been done. But for a movie, we're going to tell a story. It's like, all right, we've got three science nerds, and two of them are in high tech suits. So,
right.
You know.
Well, one can make himself small, though. So.
Whoop-de-doo.
Okay, so now I guess we can turn to...
The show now goes supernatural with a Fringe discussion.
Season 4 of Fringe just ended. So
yeah.
I think there are a couple questions that I would like to ask each of you. Starting with Amy, what did you think of Season 4 overall?
Season 4 overall, it kind of felt like it was going up and down, up and down, up and down. And then finally they got their act together and went, okay, let's get this show on the road.
Yeah.
Now they feel like they're going in a direction, so I kind of feel a little whiplash with Fringe. But I loved it. I mean, it's great. It was just like, I just didn't know where they're going for a while. I thought, okay, why are we still going? You know, is Peter going to figure out that this is his timeline, and for whatever reason, and it's changed for whatever reason? I was like, dude, you don't get it.
Right.
And finally, it takes one of the people. What is it? It takes the
observer. Yeah, September. We finally learn his name.
Something for him to go. Oh, and I was like, duh.
Yeah. He essentially.
I don't like what they're doing. I like the whole fact that everything that's trickling down is consequences of one person's actions, and I feel really bad for September because it's all his fault.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. I think so.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to season 5. Season 4, they did a good. They did a good job when they finally, got it back on track. Maybe they. I don't know. I'm not going to make assumptions on if they knew what they were doing or not. But it just kind of felt like there was no direction for a little while. And went, okay. Like, boom, now we got you. And we're gonna, take you by the throat and squeeze and keep squeezing until you can't breathe anymore.
Yeah, they did it.
The last 3 or 4 episodes were just absolutely, knock it out of the ballpark. I was happy with them.
Okay.
Even the one where you had no idea, where is everybody? They're in the future? What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It made more sense. I think I liked the episode better after I got to the end. And I went,
I think that was the point.
It's a roundabout way of doing it, but for a while there, for that episode, I was going, what the heck?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, John. What about you? What about you in season 4?
I thought the season was pretty fantastic. I mean, like Amy said, they kind of got their act together towards the end of the season, but I was very confused. Now, let me take you on a journey through the progression of the later end of the later parts of the season. So they're building up towards what's going to happen eventually in the finale of the season, where they find out who's controlling things, and they got to stop the two universes from colliding. So they're working, trying to find what's his name, the guy from Mad Men. What's his name?
Oh, David Robert Jones.
They're trying to find David Robert Jones and stop his plans, and they're working with the other side. And but I'm confused, smack dab in the middle of some of those episodes, they put an episode where, for no discernible reason, they go to 30 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I'm like, okay, I've seen enough of these shows where they're going to go into the future and, tell a story and wrap it up at the end and then, move on to the story. And they told the story, and then the course of the episode, we watched this usually on DVR. We're finished for it, and I'm like, I want 10 minutes left. It seems like there's quite a lot of questions in the episode that they have to answer.
Yeah.
And it sort of didn't answer all the questions.
No, they didn't.
And then the next episode, they were back in regular time following the regular story.
Right, right.
And I was like, what? End of series, end of story, whatever, nothing left.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're watching the third last episode before the Department of Parts of the World. And I'm looking up my phone about, waiting for that episode, and I look back to the other look.
Walter remembers her name.
Yeah.
Right. What are you going to do? Yeah. Yeah. We're back. Right. Right. No, nor protect a fan thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought too at first, but then it turns out that she did actually remember him, so in actuality she didn't, you know, she didn't lose any of her memories. Right. Who, well, maybe, see, the thing is, like, that actually leads into really well into, like, the next question, which is, what you think will happen in season 5. And what I think is now it's the observers versus September versus and the humans and like the human race. I think he knows how to unblock their memories. Like obviously attempting to wipe him from the timeline really wiped a lot of their memories, but there's got to be a way of reversing that now, right? There's got to be, because what they did was they're like, we're working on wiping him from the timeline and yada yada. But if he knows how to do that, then he certainly he's got to figure out some way of getting back of, you know, getting them all back to reverting to the way they used to be. I think. Right. So season five, I hope, I mean, I really do think they're not going to do this, but like they're going to do this, that there's not going to be the freak show of the week, which is what I felt like up until like you guys were saying, up until about episode 16 or 17, it was just like, when are you going to advance the overall like season story? When is it going to happen? When are you going to bring that around? And they finally, you know, when they brought it back for the last like final 8 episodes or something like that, you know, 2 episodes into that, it started picking up. They started kind of putting the freak show of the week in the back burner and stuff like that. And I think in season five of the 13 episodes, it's just going to be like balls to the wall, just going to be a battle between human race, September, and the observers. And that's going to lead up to, you know, the big fight and everything like that. And whether or not they can alter the future is unknown, right? Because there's obviously, depending on what you do, there are different timelines, right? Which is what the observers can do. They can travel between the different timelines and the different scenarios and things like that. They can explore all of those actions and things like that. That's what their gift is about. So with an observer on their side, they could potentially change the future, which was a whole bunch of them getting stuck in the amber at one, you know, at that point. So now you know, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Didn't they reference I mean, in the futuristic episode, Walter said, "I would never forgive, you know, Belle for doing what he did to Olivia," right? Is that what it was that what he said?
I think so.
Specifically,
yeah.
Olivia. And then he cut his hand off. But why he cut his hand off, I don't know. I guess they'll explain that too. I wonder if it's going to be, yeah, so I wonder if it's going to be a lot of like time jumping in this one, you know, how they affect the future.
I don't know.
Like
there's a lot that, you know, I'm definitely, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be covered. And it's like, they've given enough, they've left enough questions that you're like, okay. And, you know, just hearing you talk about, you know, the freak show of the week, you know, it almost seems as if they didn't know what they were going to do for the ending result, and they wanted to make it good. So they just said, okay, we'll just continue to do these until we can figure out what we're going to do at the last end of it.
Yeah.
And then when they finally figured out, they're like, oh, yeah, this will work just great, you know, to wrap it up, give consequences of this. Because quite literally, over the whole show, everything is a result of the fact that one dude made a mistake.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to fix it ever since. And like, oh, man. Yeah. I can't wait. This makes me really, really excited. I'm really excited to see season 5. I'm glad that they're renewing it. And you're right. You know, they could have just wrapped it up and said, okay, we're done. We'll just leave it as it is. And, you know, they wouldn't have put that episode in there that kind of teased about the future. They could have wrapped it up just fine.
I just think that if they had been given more warning that they were going to be renewed,
and it is worse than anything.
It would have, the ending of the season would have been a little bit different.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
It does kind of seem a little like,
I mean, it was literally
how they ended it, because it's like
2 weeks left and they were renewed, and it's like, what was, you know, we had to, it seemed like they almost had to throw together the scene at the end of the episode, at the end of the season, with September and Walter saying, okay, this is going to lead into the next season.
Yeah, I can understand why you feel that way.
It felt a little like, okay, it's almost like the episode where they're in the past, or you know, 30 years in the future, or 20 years in the future, or whatever, it almost felt like that maybe could have been the end instead of the beginning, or the two or three episodes ahead of time. It just, like, the whole, how it kind of moved around was a little, wasn't as smooth as it could have been, I guess.
I was reading, like, interviews with Jeff Pinkner, who's one of the series showrunners, and he said that they didn't change anything based on, you know, whether or not they got renewed or not. So you have to believe that, you know, it was so, you're right. It's so wrapped up in a nice little bow. And then they threw that, like, you know, 5-second clip at the end. And it's like wondering if
it didn't change anything. Because they had to end the series.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was you're right. I would have been very satisfied if it ended that way. But I am glad though that they did throw, you know, got it, cause it got renewed. And then they threw in that little piece that it's like, now they get to explain, you know, episode 19, which is when they went into the future, and they explain that war and things like that. So they you know, they've wrapped up everything essentially, except for William Belle, who like bailed away. But that will get explained as well through the 13 episodes. So
yeah.
I think this is, you know, unlike other shows that, you know, say we're going to end and then they don't really wrap up everything. I feel like they did really well in wrapping up all these insane, like, I mean, all the crazy stuff that took place the entire 4 seasons, like they were able to wrap it up in such a great little bow. And then now they're like, okay, this stuff is wrapped up. Now let's show you the war. And I think that's probably the best, you know, that you can.
It's better than what we got out of X-Files.
Yeah, it's better. And the other show that I was suggesting was Lost. There were so many answers. There were so many questions that they never answered. And while it's not like, okay, it's not that important that they get all answered, but at the same time, it's like, it would have been nice if you could answer them. And yeah, and exactly.
It's much better when there's a few things that are, that when you wrap everything up, maybe even if you leave just a little thread open and that's it, you know, you still need to have the payoff. You know, you're going along, you know, if you get a really great payoff, boom, you're up here, and then, you know, afterwards you're like, okay, we're satisfied. But if you get a payoff, it's like, up here, and then boom, it's like, it's not as big of a, you know, payoff.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna, yeah, so hopefully season five, it'll definitely get, you know, fans of the show will definitely get a payoff after four years of the show. So, okay. Right. All right. Well, that was a great discussion, you guys. I think that wraps up our show for this week. As always, definitely, if you want, we definitely want to hear what you have to say about the show. So definitely either hit us up on Twitter at Screenview Show, or you could also, you know, send us an email at screenview@tfradio.net or anything like that. So for this week, John, Amy, and me, we will see you guys some other time.